This is Matt Spiegel, and we are off and running with Season 2 of the PBP, Voices of Baseball. The very best play-by-play voices in the game talk about their craft. Hear guests like Joe Davis explain the thought process during baseball's biggest games.
You gotta widen the lens. What does this home run mean?
Harper, the swing of his life!
Incredible broadcasters sharing great stories from your favorite teams with new episodes weekly. Find us on the Odyssey app or wherever you find podcasts.
This is the JR Sport Brief Show on CBS Sports Radio. I'm coming to you live from Atlanta, Georgia. Much love to everybody tuned in and locked in all over North America. Thank you so much to super producer and host Ryan Hickey holding it down for us in New York City. And thank you to you, yeah, you, everybody tuned in on the free Odyssey app, your local CBS Sports Radio affiliate, CBSSportsRadio.com, Sirius XM Channel 158, and everybody tuning in on a smart speaker, all you got to do is ask it to play CBS Sports Radio. It's Friday. Not here for a long time, damn it, I'm here for a good time. Women's Final Four about to be underway in action in an hour from now. Can't wait. Men are in action tomorrow. Tonight in Cleveland, tomorrow in Phoenix, Arizona. I'm ready to go. In 20 minutes, we're going to have a chat with Sean Hurd of the Anscape, ESPN's Anscape. He covers women's college basketball. Get his thoughts on the Final Four that's going to get underway in about an hour from now. North Carolina State taking on South Carolina at 7 p.m. And then later, let's say about 3 hours from now, 3.5 hours, we got UConn versus Iowa. Paige Beckers, Caitlin Clark are going to go out there and light it up. I'm anxious. I'm ready. Great Friday for basketball, a great Saturday for basketball, and then the championship for the women will take place on Sunday, and then the championship for the men will be here on Monday. A lot of fun. If you want to talk to us throughout the course of the show, it's real simple. It's 855-212-4CBS. It's 855-212-4CBS. You can find me online. I'm all over the place. I'm on the internet. I am at JR Sport Brief. That's at JR Sport Brief everywhere on social media. I told you that we're going to have Sean Hurd of the Anscape joining us in about 20 minutes. Besides the tournament action, Bryant McFadden. We talked about his ideas and choices surrounding the Houston Texans and why he thinks they are the number two team in the AAFC. Bryant McFadden is going to come through and join us, a former Pittsburgh Steeler, current analyst for CBS Sports. Tyreek Hill. Tyreek Hill says Odell Beckham Jr. to the Miami Dolphins is a done deal. I don't know if Tyreek Hill is an agent. I do know he is a wide receiver. Maybe he's pulling double duty. Bronny James. He's entering into the NBA draft, but he is leaving his options open to return to college. We'll get into it. Looks like we have some more information as to why Josh Allen is no longer going to be throwing a football to Stephon Diggs. We'll get into it, and then we'll give you an update later on in the show as to what's going on with the NCAA women's game. 855-212-4CBS is the number. You can find me online at JR Sport Brief. Super producer and host Ryan Hickey. How you doing, man? You good?
JR, I am good. I'm proud to announce I can officially add Earthquake Survivor to my resume.
Earthquakes. I heard about the 4.8 magnitude.
4.8 magnitude in a place that I thought was impossible to get earthquakes.
Impossible to get earthquakes?
I mean, you thought it was possible, and you grew up here in the New York City area. I never even had this on the bingo card.
I was in New York the last earthquake. This had to be 2011. I was sitting in a meeting in Chelsea, and the building swayed, the room swayed, the lamp above us swayed, and I had to go, oh, crap, yeah, it's an earthquake, yeah.
We had an earthquake, like, what, almost 15 years ago? I don't remember.
Yeah, I remember sitting in a meeting.
Well, this was a shock today, then, to say the least.
What have you been sleeping for the past 25 plus years? Where you been?
I maybe it was stronger where you were than where I was. I don't recall. I mean, sheesh.
You didn't know New York City it could ever have an. You did not know New York City could have an earthquake.
Hand up, I thought. I mean, maybe like. Now, yeah, I honestly thought it was, I guess, geologically impossible.
Oh no!
For this area, I didn't think we were by any fault lines.
No, bro, there are earthquakes all over the planet. All over the planet, man. Sometimes you feel them. Some places, there are fault lines everywhere, man. It's just some places are stronger than most, and it's typically out in the Pacific. So when you get further west and then you start going out to the Far East, and you start getting into a lot of the Asian countries, yeah, it's crazy. That's why there's always the earthquakes and the tsunamis and the typhoons. It's volatile there, man. That the earth is always shaking and always moving underneath the ground.
Right, I knew out west. I just figured, like, here on the East Coast, I mean, outside of the one you just referenced, I couldn't even tell you one that happened east of Nebraska.
Nah.
I thought we were safe here.
No, bro. Whole planet shakes. I mean, am I expecting, I forgot what country in Asia. They just got a 7-point something earthquake, and, you know, the buildings were slanted over there. God bless them. Yeah, it gets rougher out there. It's rare to get an earthquake on this side of the country, but it can happen. And so you felt one today. You may not feel another one for another 10, 15, 20 years. Maybe. I have no idea. Nobody can predict it. That's what happens when you live on a rock that's floating around a bunch of other rocks and has been through some things. So as long as you didn't fall in a crack, I think we're good.
Yes, I'm glad to say I survived. Apparently, we just had an aftershock. I didn't feel it, but so hopefully the next 4 hours we're okay here. We at least this building we know can withstand one, so we should be good.
Good. So what were you? Were you sleeping? You were awake? You were standing? What the hell were you doing?
I was awake. My girlfriend's brother and dad are in town this weekend, so we were just hanging out in our living room, and all of a sudden, like, I heard a helicopter, like, okay, right around the same time. I thought it was just a low-flying helicopter that, you know, maybe was after someone. And that's why we're kind of getting, like, the shaking. And then quickly go on Twitter, and a lot of friends are texting, and they just feel that and then realize there's an earthquake.
So you were just in the living room?
In the living room, and you felt it, like, vibrated for, like, okay, 5 seconds. And, like, a big vibration, at least. And then kind of dissipated a little bit. But, yeah, 10, 15 seconds, like, the whole thing from start to finish. And then, yeah, earthquake.
Okay. Nothing fell over, right? No books fell over. Nothing fell off a shelf, rattled off a table. Bottles didn't shake.
Nothing broke. I'll be honest, we live in an old building. I'm shocked that the building itself stood.
Oh, my God. Jesus.
Did not think it'd be earthquake-proof, but it was. So nothing broke, thankfully. We're all good.
Well, at least now you know you'll live through a nuclear blast.
Pretty ironic.
Yeah, I started seeing all of the people I know in New York. I saw the messages, and I'm just like, oh, earthquake? And I had messaged my friends in New York and my manager, and I'm like, hey, is earthquake? He's like, yeah, earthquake. And I'm like, okay. And I just started seeing everything. Wild stuff. You know what? I saw this as well. MLB Network was live on the air. They're based out of New Jersey, which is the kind of the epicenter right west of Manhattan in New York City. And they were on the air. And the ground started moving, and you started seeing the camera shake around and just listen to everybody on MLB Network. They were a little surprised.
Yeah, that is true. But that was entertaining right there. Who was your best?
Are we having an earthquake? Seriously. Are we having an earthquake? I think we're having an earthquake.
I'm not kidding.
Hey, we're finally going to end up on awful announcing. We're having an earthquake. What's going on here?
Is everything okay?
Control room is shaking. We're shaking.
Are you guys okay?
You guys are all right, right?
We're staying in this, okay, but I'm not kidding you.
This is not a bit. All right, let's go to break.
Guys, you
let's
just
go to break because I'm leaving.
Shake it.
My car's right outside, and I'm leaving.
My favorite quote was the last one. My car's right outside, I'm leaving. Yeah, nobody expects to be in an earthquake. Look, if the ground started moving here in Atlanta right now, I'd be like, oh, crap, okay, it's an earthquake. And, I mean, there's nothing you can do. Like, that's the thing. There's nothing you can do but just experience it and go, okay, is it violent? Do I need to duck for cover? There's nothing you can do.
That's a scary part. Like, at least with a hurricane, you have warning. With a tornado, you have warning. With an earthquake, there's no warning. You could just wake up one day, the ground starts shaking, and depending on the severity, I mean, your house could go right down. freaky.
Yeah, you can't do anything. You just have to, your brain goes, damn it, is the earth moving? Is this building moving? And you go, yeah. And then after that, you just go, do I need to take cover? And then by the time you figure that out, maybe it's already done. They say you're supposed to get underneath, like, a table, maybe the corner, the leg of the table, so you don't have anything heavy fall on you. If the ground started moving here in Atlanta in this studio, you know, we got these soundproof things. At least the ceiling is light. Now, this board, for people who aren't familiar with a studio, the board, the table in front of me is like heavy. It's like marble. It's like a gigantic heavy marble slab. And if I decided to duck underneath it and it collapsed underneath me, on top of me, I'm cooked. There's no more JR Sport Brief Show. I'd be done. And so let's hope that there is no earthquake here in Atlanta, because I don't know. Hickey'd have to take over while they try to excavate my ass out of here. So let's hope that doesn't happen.
That's why you got to go in the doorway. Stand in the doorway, you'll be all safe.
Ah, look at you, doorway, yeah.
I got your back.
If I can make it over there. I got to walk around the board to get to the doorway. This building, the studio is not, hasn't been planned out for an earthquake. What a shock. Nobody thinking about anything here in Atlanta, but I don't know. Rain? Snow?
Humidity?
Yeah, humidity, I guess that, but that's a normal, that's a normal natural disaster, if you want to call it one. Yeah, so, yeah, well, I'm glad you're okay. I'm glad for the most part I heard everybody's fine. And did the airport and stuff is open already?
I believe so. I guess so. I think flights are coming in and out.
Yeah, everybody will be fine. Good. And, hey, speaking of flights, Dan Hurley still hasn't opened up his mouth. He hasn't complained about the delay for UConn getting out there, did he?
Not that I've seen. So far, he's taking the high road.
He's being normal until they win the national championship, and then all hell will pretty much be let loose by Dan Hurley. Hey, I heard he spoke today. Let's listen to Dan Hurley out in Phoenix, Arizona. We know Alabama is getting ready to take on UConn. UConn is trying to go for its sixth title, all time since 1999. That's when they won their first. UConn has basically dominated over the past 25 years. Alabama, meanwhile, this is their first ever Final Four. This is a damn football school. Anyway, Dan Hurley, he talked about what the hell he told his team after winning the national championship last year. They're trying to repeat.
You guys got a chance to make history at a place that is impossible to make history. And that was probably what we leaned into a lot with that returning core that could have been complacent because, you know, been there, done that. Final Four, national championships, you know, I did it already. Why do I got to push so hard? Well, you got a chance to make history in a place that is impossible to make history.
Yeah, no one has repeated since 2006, 2007. The Florida Gators, they were the last team to go out there and repeat. And UConn is, they trying to join the club. It's crazy to think it's almost been 20 years. Time flies when you're having fun. Look, Joakim Noah is not even in the NBA anymore. Corey Brewer isn't even in the NBA anymore. The last dude, Al Horford, is barely in the NBA. I wouldn't be shocked if this was his last year, especially if the Boston Celtics ended up winning a championship. UConn is going for broke. I just told you, Alabama, ain't nobody expected them to be here. A football school. Nate Oates, he says, yeah, we're here. It's our first time here, and we're trying to win a championship.
You know, we had to sell our guys that we can make the run, you know, before the tournament, now that we've made the run to get to the Final Four. You know, I want our guys playing loose and free, but I want them thinking we got a chance to win. I mean, if you guys know me, I'm not going to this game just happy to be here.
Yeah, don't be happy to be here. Actually be trying to go out there and win the damn thing. What I'm happy about is that he actually had a press conference, at least in that quote, and there was no mention of Nick Saban. There was no kissing the butt of Nick Saban. I wish we had more of that. But anyway, again, congratulations to Alabama for showing up. And let's see if UConn beats them by 20 points or 30. Hickey, where are you going? 20 or 30 points?
Maybe I'm delusional. I think this is going to be a close game.
Oh,
I think Alabama hit some threes. and just tries to make this like a race, just a track meet. So I think we'll get a within a 10-point game here.
Oh, wow. Okay. I would appreciate that. This game doesn't get started until close to 9 p.m. tomorrow Eastern time. At that point, I may be already passed out. I'm going to be watching the first game. North Carolina State and Purdue gets us kicked off tomorrow on the men's side. After that is Alabama and UConn. And how about this? In about 45 minutes. And Hickey, I know it's a lie. It's going to be about an hour, right?
Zero chance it's 7 o'clock tip.
Yeah, they're lying to us. In about an hour from now, North Carolina State is going to take on South Carolina. That's right. The Gamecocks are trying to go undefeated on their way to a championship. And then after that, later tonight, we got UConn taking on Iowa. But right here on CBS Sports Radio, I told you we got a packed show. NFL, NBA, MLB, college. But on the other side of the break, we're going to have a chat with women college basketball writer Sean Hurd of Anscape.com. It's the JR Sport Brief Show on CBS Sports Radio.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Listen as Selenia tells us why she chose to vaccinate her daughter.
I definitely felt like the pros far outweighed the cons, the diseases that I am protecting my child against. They're still here. And at the end of the day, it's my job as a mother to keep my child safe.
Talk to your child's doctor and learn more at whyvaccines.com. Brought to you by Merck.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief on CBS Sports Radio.
It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on CBS Sports Radio. In about an hour from now, the Women's Final Four is going to get underway. We got North Carolina State taking on South Carolina. The second game of the night, we got UConn taking on Iowa. By the time we finish up with Sunday evening, we will have a national champion crowned in Cleveland, Ohio. Someone in Cleveland, Ohio right now is joining us, covers women's college basketball, women's basketball for ESPN's Anscape. It's Sean Hurd. Sean, thank you for taking the time to hop on.
Hey, thanks for having me.
No doubt about it. Well, I know you're in Cleveland. What's the vibe? How's everybody feeling out there?
Yeah, the energy is high in Cleveland. You know, we've got such a great, you know, group of matchups tonight. South Carolina, NC State, Iowa, UConn. You know, we've got stars, undefeated teams, great coaching. It should be a really good evening.
Without a shadow of a doubt. Well, talk to us about the matchup that's going to take place about an hour from now. North Carolina State, we know, is operating with both the men and the women's here in the Final Four, taking on South Carolina. Does North Carolina State stand a chance? Of course they do. And how can they best go out there and win and compete against South Carolina?
Yeah, you know, I think it's no question that NC State is the underdog in this matchup. But, you know, after practice on Thursday, NC State guard Tanaya Rivers, who actually transferred from South Carolina to NC State 2 years ago, you know, she told the media, you know, we're the party crashers and we're coming to crash the party. You know, NC State started the year unranked in the AP. They were picked to finish eighth in the APC. They've always viewed themselves as the underdog since the season started. You know, keep in mind, the teams that NC State beat to get here, you know, they beat a very good number two seed Stanford team in 2016, then a number one seed Texas in the Elite Eight. So their arrival in the Final Four is no fluke. You know, they're a strong defensive team. They like to get out and run. A tremendous backcourt with Sanaya Rivers and Aziah James. A really good team to watch. They're going to put up a fight tonight. And then, of course, on the other end, you have South Carolina. You know, they enter this Final Four is their fourth straight. They entered this Final Four undefeated. It's the second straight year they've done that. But this year's starting five is completely different than a year ago. That's what has made this particular South Carolina team so impressive. And it's a different style of play than we've seen previously, too. You know, they play faster. They have excellent perimeter threats now. And their defense continues to be dominant, as we have, you know, become accustomed to from Don Staley's program. So it should be a really great matchup tonight between these two teams.
Sean Hurd is joining us from ESPN's Anscape, covers women's basketball. At the end of the day, do you have South Carolina and the Gamecocks walking away with the championship on Sunday?
I do. And I think the biggest reason for that is, you know, South Carolina has the deepest bench in college basketball. They have the SEC tournament, most important, you know, valuable player on the bench in freshman star, Miley Shaffold Wiley. You know, that doesn't even include Ashlyn Watkins and Snaya Fagan and Chloe Kitts. You know, South Carolina has logged the fewest individual minutes of any team left in the tournament. And there might be bigger stars on other teams, but I think South Carolina is the best team, you know, where different players step up in different games, and that's what makes it really hard to outlast them for 40 minutes.
Without a shadow of a doubt, when you think about the game that we have later on tonight, people are looking at it less as a UConn versus Iowa matchup, and people are saying, hey, man, we get a chance to see Paige Beckers versus Caitlin Clark. What are your thoughts on this matchup, and is Caitlin Clark going to have to carry them past UConn?
Yeah, look, I mean, it's a shrewd battle of two superstars in the sport, right? And you know, it'll be their second meeting, you know, the first coming in 2021 in the Sweet 16 where UConn came out on top. You know, both Caitlin and Paige are coming off tremendous performances in the Elite Eight. You know, Caitlin had 41-7-12. Paige had 28-10-6. Just ridiculous stuff, right? And, you know, it's likely both Caitlin and Paige are going to deliver tonight individually. So the question then becomes, which supporting cast delivers behind them? You know, for Iowa, that's Gabby Marshall, Kate Martin, Hannah Stolke, Sydney Affalter. In the Elite Eight, we saw Martin and Affalter in particular have really great games, you know, complementing Clark's star power. For UConn, it's, you know, projected WNBA first-round pick Aaliyah Edwards, Nika Mule, and then their freshman tandem that they have starting, KK Arnold and Ashton Shade. You know, Edwards was big in the Elite Eight over USC. Shade, you know, just a freshman, has stepped up big for UConn in other games. And, it, you know, Mule is UConn's all-time assist leader and a great defender. She'll get the defensive assignment on Clark, but, you know, it takes a team to guard Caitlin Clark, and sometimes that doesn't even work either. So,
well, who do you think is going to walk away with the W in the second matchup?
You know, I've really liked the momentum that UConn has shown. That might not be the most common pick, but, you know, I had UConn winning tonight.
Okay. All right. We're being joined by Sean Hurd, covers women's basketball for ESPN's Anscape. When you think about the explosion of and the interest in women's basketball, I'd say over the past a year and a half or 2 years, how sustainable do you think it's going to be now that there are so many more recognizable names coming through at the college level?
Yeah, I think that's just it. What you said at the end there is, you know, it's not just Caitlin. It's not just Paige. You know, you've got Hannah Hidalgo, a freshman phenom from, you know, Notre Dame. Juju Watkins was, you know, incredible for USC this year. And the list really just goes on. So I think what's great is you start to see, you know, not just one or two stars, but a collection of stars really coming up in women's college basketball. And I think that's what's going to sustain the attention and all of the star power that they've seen so far, you know, in the recent few years.
There's been a lot of conversations about the money that the young ladies are able to make, whether it be from the college side with NIL transitioning over into the WNBA. There's also an age limit where they have to be 22 years old to enter into the WNBA in its draft. Do you think that's something that's going to change into the future, or is that going to take additional teams and expansion?
Yeah, again, I think you just pointed to it at the end there. It's tough already with what the current model looks like, right? There's not enough space for all of the talent that is coming out of college basketball. So I think before that, any changes are made, we have to see, you know, either a change in roster capacity or, like you mentioned, expansion. And, you know, we're going to get an expansion team next year in the Bay Area. So, you know, I think that's a start. But I think for now, I'm not sure we'll see anything come too immediately.
Women's basketball writer Sean Hurd is here with us from ESPN's Anscape. This is the JR Sport Brief Show on CBS Sports Radio. We know about all of the talent that we've seen and that will be in the WNBA. What do you think Caitlin Clark will do by the time she gets into the league? I don't think she's going to dominate. Obviously, there's going to be an acclimation period. But how and where is she going to slot in, let's say, in a couple of years?
Yeah, you know, I think there's no question Caitlin Clark is going to succeed in the W, right? I think how she succeeds will be the big question. We know that she's an incredible shooter, but perhaps, you know, the most successful sign early on in her career in the W will be as a passer. You know, she's an excellent passer, can find her teammates, you know, incredibly well on the floor, but just great court vision. And now she's going to be surrounded by all of this WNBA-level talent, right, who can more readily maybe convert the amazing passes that she's able to make. So I think we could really see her excel as a passer first, until she maybe finds her rhythm as a scorer within the W. You know, we've seen some other WNBA first-round picks, for example, struggle out the gate because it's a big transition, it's a big leap that you have to make. You know, everyone's faster, stronger, their IQ is higher. There's an adjustment period, and I think everyone should be prepared to give Caitlin that. But I also think it wouldn't come as a surprise if Caitlin is able to do Caitlin things that we've seen on the collegiate level in the W as well.
Oh, yeah. I can see the deep threes now. Bombs away. Hey, Sean, I want to thank you for taking the time to hop on. Are you enjoying Cleveland? I mean, are you going to, like, the museum? What are you doing besides watching all the basketball?
Hey, look, I haven't seen the sky in hours. So, you know, I couldn't tell you too much about Cleveland. We're busy here in the workroom getting some stuff done. But I hope to one day get out and explore, so.
Okay. Drew Carey says Cleveland rocks. So when you have some free time, go outside a little bit. Check out the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Sean, thank you for the time. Where can people follow you and all your work with the Antscape?
Absolutely. Antscape.com is where you can find all of my stuff. You can follow me on Twitter at Sean A. Hurd. Yeah, I appreciate the time. Thank you.
No doubt about it. Yeah, we got a great matchup getting going. And now less than an hour from now, North Carolina State taking on South Carolina. South Carolina expected to just kind of, who am I fooling? They expected to blow them out tonight. And then in the late matchup, we have UConn taking on Iowa. Paige Beckers versus Caitlin Clark. Thank you again, Sean Hurd from the Antscape. You're listening to the JR Sport Brief Show here on CBS Sports Radio. If you want to talk to me, it's simple. It's 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4CBS. For CBS. On the other side of the break, you know what? We got all this great basketball on the college side. We're going to talk some NBA. We're going to talk about a guy, a head coach who's not happy with his team right now. His name is Ime Udoka. This man basically called his own team the Houston Rockets, the young Houston Rockets. He called them soft. And the Golden State Warriors, well, he called them some other things. I'll explain on the other side.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief on CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, Hickey, did you hear that? It's thought-provoking. How about that? I'll take it.
It's a nice compliment. I think in this industry, one of the best compliments you can receive.
What, to be thought-provoking?
Yeah, not be a gas bag.
Oh, like Aaron Rodgers.
Like Aaron Rodgers, amongst many others. Yeah, exactly.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Yeah, Aaron Rodgers, massive, massive gas bag that dude is. Anyway, I think that'll be the last time we mention him tonight. He didn't make any news today, did he?
Shockingly, no. You know, I'm sure he'll have some sort of earthquake take to give. And
oh, my God.
At some point soon, so get ready for that.
Oh, my God. Well, you know, I heard it was raining like cats and dogs. Pardon the cliche, I couldn't think of another one. It's been raining like cats and dogs in New York all week, right?
It's been very crappy for a large part of this week. Yes, sir.
So it rained, and then yesterday I saw it was ridiculously cold. And then today was the earthquake. The Statue of Liberty got hit by lightning, I think, yesterday or 2 days ago. And then there's an eclipse on Monday.
That's right. Wear your glasses.
Right. And then I see the New York Yankees have even they pushed back the game to as to not distract. I don't know what the hell. How the hell, you can't have a baseball, and They got a whole batter's eye. So the guy at the plate can actually identify the baseball. Yeah, you can't have a baseball game during a solar eclipse. Now, look, I haven't read about what a solar eclipse is in a long time. Which one is this? The moon? The moon will pass in front of the sun, right? Now, how that goes?
Oh, I did not look it up to see which one it is. I don't know what, to be honest.
Aren't there two? There's like two versions of it, right? No, just one version? Because there's one.
Well, I guess, yeah, it can only work one way, right?
Yeah, but there's two. Yeah, correct. The moon blocks the sun. But then there's something that I don't know. I'm going to look it up in a break. There's some intricacies here about eclipses. I remember an eclipse when I was in school, a kid. And we were in a classroom, and they gave us the special glasses. But you know what? Imagine a world where we didn't have the technology that we do now. Imagine you're just outside minding your business at, I don't know, 2:42 in the afternoon, and the sun is shining, and then all of a sudden it just gets black outside. Could you imagine that?
You look up at it, and then boom, you're blind.
Oh, dang.
Hell of a way to get your day going. What is that? Oh, I can't see.
I don't think. Does it really work? If you look, you don't go blind, right?
Well, I mean, it hurts your eyes. So, they say wear glasses. I think it does real eye damage. So maybe not immediately, but.
Yeah, but just the fact and the idea of, hey, the sun is supposed to be out and now it's black outside. It would cause mass hysteria. Thank you so much to the wonderful scientists who let us know these things. I'm just a wild world that we live in. I'm waiting. Well, no, I don't think there's an eclipse. I don't think we can see it from here in Georgia. So, hey, have fun in New York, Hickey. Yeah, that and the guy who punches people on the subway. It sounds like that sounds like an amazing time in New York. Thank you so much to our last guest. Sean Hurd joined us from ESPN's Anscape. He's live in Cleveland, Ohio. He did not go to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. It sounds like they got him working his ass off out there. He says he's been sitting inside writing stories all day. Hickey, I guess we got it easy, huh? I got to write. It's probably understated how much I have to write. I don't got no script. I got a couple of bullet points, and I just go. Why are they making him work so hard?
I know the games haven't even started yet, too. Like, you think, okay, you work all night, two games, you got to react to a lot of them. Sheesh, not even being able to see the sun all day leading up to it. It's crazy.
Is that what he said? He couldn't see the sun? Is that what he said?
Said he hasn't seen the sun.
Well, it is Cleveland. Why would he want to go outside? I'm joking. I'm joking. I don't need the Joe Kim Noah hate. I don't need people ganging up on me like they ganged up on Rebecca Lobo when she said, what is there to do in Albany? Now, I'll say this. I'm from New York State. I will trash New York as much as I want. People in New York know. People in Albany know. It's not a damn thing to do in Albany. What are we doing here? I know everybody is glad. You know, but that's not all that great, right? To go from Albany to Cleveland? Ugh. Yeah, Hickey, stay out of this one. No comments from
you. There's been some road trips.
Oh, it's not far. Well, you...
it's like 8 hours, 7 hours driving.
Look, when you start going from Albany out towards, Cleveland, and there's a reason why, never mind. They geographically, you start, well, I don't want to talk about the Rust Belt. Let me just leave all of that alone.
You are going to end up banned from half the country by the time June 1st comes around.
June? Why June?
Well, just because the way yesterday it was Albany, which I think you're right about, but yesterday trash in Albany. Today it's taking some veiled shots at Cleveland. I mean, the callers from Alaska have taken issue, not with you directly, but with how the entirety of the United States fails to view Alaska as part of the U.S. I mean, you're making a lot of enemies right now.
Look, a guy messaged me from Europe. He's like, hey, I want to listen more in Europe. I can't help you. Like, I'm not customer service. I can't tell you how to listen or what. I got people. There have been military people. Shout out to everybody in the U.S. military, okay? The U.S. military. Shout out to everybody in the U.S. military for listening. There are people who listen all over the world. Now, if you can't find it or how to listen where you live, I can't help you. I can't. People do things, and if you can't figure it out, that's not my fault. Write a letter, not to me. I just work here. Like Sean Hurd works for Anscape. 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4CBS. Cleveland is a beautiful place. That's why LeBron, he went back. It's beautiful. Anyway, LeBron James is getting ready for a playoff run. He's healthy. He's old. He's healthy. Let's talk about a young team. Let's talk about the Houston Rockets. Yeah, nobody's talking about them. Unless it was a couple of weeks ago when Jalen Green was playing like the best player in the NBA. I guess that child support hit him. The man was dropping like 35 points a game. And the Houston Rockets, they ultimately went on an 11-game winning streak. Well, right now the Rockets are sitting at 500. They're 38-38. And they were beat by the Golden State Warriors. No shock, right? Golden State Warriors don't look like they're at the peak of their powers. It looks like they're doing better right now. And the Warriors beat the Rockets last night, smashed them, 133-110. Now, why is this a game of significance? Because while the Houston Rockets were on that streak, at one point in time, they were one game behind the Golden State Warriors for the play-in. The Golden State Warriors looked like they were reeling, and Draymond Green was getting kicked out of games, and it just looked bad. And so what do you do when you're inexperienced? What do you do when all you do is lose and you taste a little bit of success? You start talking trash. You start running your mouth. You start smelling yourself. Tari Eason. Maybe you've seen him play. Maybe you've never seen him play. Well, he hasn't played since like January for the Houston Rockets because, God bless him, he has a benign tumor on his leg. A growth that they had to remove. Well, he's okay. Good for him. Thank you so much. He is okay. But he hasn't played. When they were on this winning streak and they pulled up behind the Golden State Warriors, Tari Eason put out an entire video saying, "Warriors, come out and play." You know, making a mockery of the movie, you know, making fun of the movie and the Golden State Warriors. Well, he talked all that trash and he sat on the bench in a T-shirt that said "Warriors, come out and play." And the Warriors scrubbed them. How embarrassing. And he couldn't even get off the bench because, I'll say it again, he's hurt. He's done for the season. And the Golden State Warriors right now are basically in control of the 10th spot. They're about 4 or 5 games ahead of the Rockets with only about 5 or 6 games left. And so you talk trash and it got you where? The answer is nowhere. Now, you know, it's one thing when the opposition tells you that you suck, you should probably shut the hell up. It's another thing when you hear it from your own coach. Well, how about the Houston Rockets and Tari Eason, who couldn't even play, heard it from Klay Thompson. He said, "Man, you don't play. You should shut up."
That's pretty lame, especially if you're not even playing. Like, it's one thing if you're playing and you're out there competing and you can back it up, but if you're just going to be trolling from the sideline, like, bro, like, what are we doing? Like, times we talk mess, at least we're out there competing. I'm not going to miss. That's all I have to say about that.
Oh, yeah, don't. This is the realest example of don't talk trash if you can't back it up. He had on a Warriors come out and play T-shirt. He could not play. And then when the game was over and he left the building, he reportedly had on only a vest and a chain. He took the T-shirt off. A little too late for that, buddy. A little too late for that. Well, what does his own head coach think about this? What does Ime Udoka think about his team that talked trash and then got their asses handed to him? Listen.
It looked like the moment was too big for a lot of players out there. So it looked like deer in headlights a little bit. Either look soft or scared. One or the other, and that's two bad things for a lot of our guys to have, and didn't rise up to the moment like I thought we would.
Yeah, well, better luck next year, right? Better luck next year. That's why they brought Ime Udoka in here. Not to cheat on or sleep with an employee's wife, but they brought him in just so Ime Udoka could actually toughen up the Rockets. And it's good that they probably went through this adversity. They weren't going to win a damn thing this year. It would have been good for them to get into the postseason, maybe get a little taste of that. But ultimately, come on. Rockets weren't going to do anything. This is probably a learning experience in and of itself for them. Let them go home, lick their wounds. Let Tari Eason come back better next year. Let Jalen Green kind of live up to the potential and drop, I don't know, 30 a game. And let's see if the Houston Rockets can grow into one of the most dynamic teams in the West. I mean, I haven't even heard Dylan Brooks' name in a couple of weeks. Remind you, Dylan Brooks is on the Houston Rockets, and he ain't the one talking smack. A little bit different for a change. You know you suck when Steph Curry is on the opposite bench mocking you with bottles. Warriors come out and play. Steph Curry doesn't bother anybody unless he's throwing around that mouthpiece of his. Or he's mocking you after he hits a three. But he's a nice guy. He's a nice guy. Anyway, I'm a nice guy, I think. I love Cleveland. I love Albany. I love Alaska. I love pets, animals. I love it all. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on CBS Sports Radio. Hickey, what time is this? They said it's a 7 o'clock game, which means that they will not start this game until what time? 7:20?
Now, I don't know if it's accurate. I just saw about, let's say, 2 minutes ago, they had an 18-minute countdown going, which would approximately put that at, let's see, about 7:08 p.m. Eastern.
You think this game between North Carolina State and South Carolina is going to start at 7:08?
I would say that's at least what the graphic said. I will say 7:13, official prediction.
Okay, 7:13, official prediction. You can't trust these television programmer people. You can't trust them. Anyway, the game is going to get started. The Final Four on the women is about to be underway in the next, I don't know, 20 minutes or so. That much we know, or 25 minutes. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here on CBS Sports Radio, 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4CBS. When we come back, we'll talk about the women's tournament, and then also talk about the men's tournament. We got Bryant McFadden, former NFL player, current analyst for CBS Sports. He's going to come through and talk to us about the Texans. There's a lot that we need to do. It's the JR Sport Brief Show on CBS Sports Radio. Do yourself a favor. Don't move.
This is Matt Spiegel, and we are off and running with Season 2 of the PBP, Voices of Baseball. The very best play-by-play voices in the game talk about their craft. Hear guests like Joe Davis explain the thought process during baseball's biggest games.
You got to widen the lens. What does this home run mean?
The swing of his life!
Incredible broadcasters sharing great stories from your favorite teams with new episodes weekly. Find us on the Odyssey app or wherever you find podcasts.
Listen as Selenia tells us why she chose to vaccinate her daughter.
I definitely felt like the pros far outweighed the cons, the diseases that I am protecting my child against. They're still here. And at the end of the day, it's my job as a mother to keep my child safe.
Talk to your child's doctor and learn more at whyvaccines.com. Brought to you by Merck.